For those of you who were kindly in St. Augustine's this morning, this follows on what was our little tour of the church when I was trying to show how prophecy, as I was thinking about what to say and do, my title was to be Types of Prophecy. And one of the first concerns was, well, is this just a textbook exercise or is it something to do with living faith? And I hopefully illustrated to you by the way that in the church we use the visual arts as one of the senses, all the senses we use in our worship, and the visual arts as a way within St. Augustine to show how the prophets were very much there and to be seen. You might, of course, take pity on my brain when you look at this scrambled egg in front of you, and it looks roughly like a scrambled egg. In fact, the more I thought of the subject that I'd been given, the more sort of involved it got and the more different aspects I thought of. So within what is probably now 8 minutes, let's just take a little look at it. If we begin in the center with the yoke, as it were, types of prophecy. Well, what do we actually mean by that? I think most would understand it to mean it's a human utterance believed to be inspired by the divine. And with that happening, if you then shoot off to the left-hand side, you can see that in terms of having human utterance, you have men, and there's no particular category of prophet. There's no class that you have to be, which was exactly what I think I was coming in on Sheikh Berman Paul's talk. My apologies, the funeral developed into a funeral tea, which I didn't know about, but it did mean that I did eat something after all. So there you are, parish life. And so in fact, there's no one singular type. And so from the men, you have indeed my namesake, as we looked and saw earlier, Amos, who was in fact an uneducated farmer. You then got the prophet Isaiah, who could be described as a poet. The prophet Jonah, that might best be described as a coward. And Jonah and the whale, of course, comes from there. And the prophet Daniel with courage, and Daniel and the lion's den, just to flag up a couple of things. Very importantly, and what I do want to say in the Jewish and the Christian context, women are prophetesses as well. And so the first one that I could think and find, I'm not pretending that I might have this absolutely right, but to the best of my memory and ability, there's Miriam, Moses' sister, in Exodus 15:20. Deborah, one of the judges. Ruth and Esther, I think, could both also be claimed to be prophets in their own way. Just generically within Scripture, children are even mentioned, but ultimately they're always an individual or quite often a group of prophets are mentioned. But what are they doing? So as we carry on down this left-hand side, we can say that they are perhaps in the first sense, remember those prophets that are stationed above that creation theme? So they're overlooking that creation theme in St. Augustine's. So they're saying where we go wrong from God's creation of us. They will criticize us, they will challenge us. And at times we will incorporate their criticism and their challenge, but also it can go the other way and we can reject it. But always that criticism and challenge is to bring a deeper awareness of God and also to bring fundamental values, which was also spoken of just now. That will certainly bring an interpretation of the world in which we live, of God's creation, both in terms of past history and current events. But there's then always that sense of the future with prophecy as well, looking for a change of attitude and or behavior. So with that generic sense, the types of prophecy, the need for humans to be involved, and what are those humans doing when they're involved, if you then come to the top of the yoke, you can then see that we're going to set off in another direction. The Christian heritage of prophecy is, of course, dependent on the Jewish scriptures, which we call both the Jewish scriptures and we also call the Old Testament. And not an exclusive list, but there are just some of the prophets in the Old Testament, many of them having a book of the Old Testament in their own name. So, for example, Amos does, Hosea, Jonah, Micah, Zephaniah, and all of those have a book of their own name. So quite clearly, prophecy, in terms of what types of prophecy there can be, are first, you might say, and foremost, by word. You actually, generally speaking, or the first thing you tend to think of is by word. And by word, you can have poetry. So the Psalms also contain prophecy, particularly of Christ, but also by words of letter or a written book or speech. Coming down the yoke, the next arm from the yoke, is that not only prophecy by word, but there can also be a type of prophecy by sign. So Jeremiah was asked to shatter the potter's jar as a symbol that the kingdom of Israel would be broken. Jeremiah was asked to walk around wearing a yoke around his neck. I mean, prophets tend to be a little bizarre, you can begin to see in the Jewish scriptures and Christian tradition. They have got big things to do and to say, showing that the yoke was going to be placed upon them. Ezekiel was told to carry his suitcases all around town. Imagine if we were all told tomorrow to carry our suitcases around town wherever we went and for the next, year. I mean, apart from thinking that we'd be mad, but his was a prophecy by sign that everyone was about to have to pack up their bags and go into exile. And Hosea, we'll come to Hosea in a minute. Because there's signs, and then there's actually, I think, another type of prophecy, a prophecy of action. So Isaiah, these things tend to be a little bit more, have a longer longevity, if you see what I mean. So Isaiah actually gives names to the children that God gives to him because they are telling something. They are almost prophetic in the names that are given. Isaiah is also told to go naked and barefoot. Isaiah chapter 20, if you want to look it up. Hosea, meanwhile, is told to go and marry a prostitute because God is saying that Israel has prostituted itself to foreign nations and gods. Abraham, of course, as we've looked at already, was asked to sacrifice Isaac and a way of life. Oh, sorry, that's finished that one. So by actions, we've got those. Coming along the next line, another type of prophecy can be by the way of life, and that was those other pictures that we were looking at. So, for example, Abraham giving Melchizedek, Abraham giving Melchizedek the offering that we saw, the brazen serpent being held up as a prefiguring of people looking at the cross for salvation. Of Moses and the manna and the waters of Meribah, if you remember those pictures we saw in St. Augustine's, those are all becoming ways of life that actually are telling a prophecy of something in the future, generally always about our salvation in Christ. In terms of types of prophecy, you also generally have an element of sacrifice. And there's often miracles involved as well, Moses, Elijah, and Elisha being perhaps some of the most obvious ones. Now, in my 2 minutes left, as I've just been told...
Shall I, Chris, says you can have some of his time.
Oh, sorry. I'll just go. Right. So, if you then now follow me, if you're still with my scrambled brain, I hope you might be having some... with it. Right. If we then go back up to the Old Testament, so that to the top of the page... So that Christian heritage of the Old Testament, the Jewish scriptures, all those prophets that were listed and that we can see all those different types coming from. But then shooting off to the right-hand side of the page, my brain then took me to a wonderful passage which is always used at Christmas, in the Christmas liturgies, from the Epistle to the Hebrews. In fact, it's the very opening sentence, chapter 1, verse 1. At various times in the past and in various different ways, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets, but in our own time, he has spoken to us through his Son. And so then we have Jesus Christ, who is therefore, as exampled by that one verse, there could be others, Jesus Christ, who is the fulfillment of all prophecy, including indeed his own prophetic utterances of his own life and death and what that would bring to himself and to the world. And so Christ as the fulfillment of all prophecy, including his own, brings us to the church. Interestingly, and slightly challenging what I've just said, and I recognize that, but that could be explored if we had more time, because there is a sense in which every Christian is deemed to be a prophet through our baptism in Christ. Christ, who is deemed priest, prophet, and king. And so we're called through our baptism to share in Christ's ministry, and therefore to share, as it were, in his priesthood, in his prophetic life, and indeed in his kingship. And that sense of prophecy is certainly recognized in the New Testament, the Christian scriptures, and this one example from 1 Corinthians 12:28, where prophecy is recognized by St. Paul as a distinct ministry always requiring evaluation. That's important as we go into the life of the church and the early life of the church in the first and second centuries. Sir Justin Martyr and Eusebius discuss the problem of false prophets. And then, on the other side of the coin, there have been prophets recognized through the church's ministry. And I have quite deliberately here brought it back to female examples. There are many, many male ones. I might just mention St. Francis, after whom the Pope is modeling himself. But I've deliberately put some female names down because I think that's important. So you can see Hildegard of Bingen in the 12th century, Brigitta of Sweden in the 13th century, and Catherine of Siena in the 14th century, all deemed by the church, as it were, to be prophets. Because what were they doing? Well, they were criticizing, they were challenging. Sometimes their message was incorporated. Quite a lot of the time, their message was rejected. But they were always looking to bring us into a deeper awareness of God, back to fundamental values. And so they'd have an interpretation of past history and present events, but always look to the future for a change of heart, a change of mind, and a change of behavior to become more Christ-like, Christ, who is priest, prophet, and king.